Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay, we want to continue with the series on Satan's weapons. And I know that sounds negative to say that one of his weapons is disease, but it would be more positive to say that we have the weapon of divine health. Do we not?
Yes.
Do we not have that available to us?
Yes, we have.
So whatever Satan's weapons are, we have the instruments, we have the weapons to fight against them and to overcome them. Amen. And maybe I should start off by going back into the book of Exodus. I don't know if this is the first mention of disease, but it may have been mentioned back in Genesis. I'm not aware of it, but let me start off here in the book of Exodus, chapter 15. Now, when you come to Exodus 15, you're only a couple of chapters away from the Passover, okay? And at the Passover, God showed them the blood. And he showed them the power of the blood, the power of the blood to keep them and protect them from death. And if God can protect them from death, surely he can protect us from disease, can he not? Amen? Is it not disease that eventually brings death about on some occasions? I know people can die very suddenly and say, well, he didn't have any disease. But it's probably some flaw, some disease, something, somewhere that got into the human flesh that caused the death. Amen. So in the 15th chapter of Exodus, now remember the context here of what we're coming to in the 15th chapter is that they had just crossed the Red Sea, all right? God had done miraculous things for them. He had come between the forces of the Egyptians and the Israelites. He came in there with his pillar and his cloud, amen, and he prevented the Egyptians from coming. Then, when he allowed them to come, he closed up the Red Sea and drowned them all. So, my goodness, isn't that some way to take care of a whole army? Just wipe out the whole army. You don't have to worry about them anymore. Amen. And you know what? You think, well, we've got much more better weapons today than to horses and chariots. Surely God could never do a thing like that. He can never wipe out an army. You know what? Hey, I'm going to see it happen. I intend to see it happen in my time with my eyes. Amen? Now, even if I die, I'm still going to see it happen. Because I'm going to be watching. Amen? And God is well able to overcome, amen, the enemy. Hallelujah. So, come to the 15th chapter of Exodus. Amen. It says, wait a minute here. Not the first verse, we're coming down to verse 26. The first verse is the song of Moses. You know, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. All right. Now, come down, and we're coming down to the 26th. Okay, so they came to the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days in the wilderness, and they found no water. And they came to Marah, and they could not drink the water of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name was called Marah. Marah means bitterness, doesn't it? Amen. And by the way, you know the name Miriam and Mary also mean the same thing. Means bitterness. Yeah, bitter or bitterness. Okay. And it says, and the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. Amen. And he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. So what God is doing here is he's showing them the power of healing. Hello? Are you with me? He showed them the power to heal the water. If God can heal water, he can heal people. And how did he heal the water? By what method? By the tree. And what does the tree mean?
Curse.
The cross. Because Jesus was hanged on a tree, amen, and he took on, the hanging of the tree is a sign of a curse. So he took the curse that belonged to us, he took it upon himself, and therefore, being delivered from the curse, amen, there is healing. Did you know that? You know, how many of you are really looking forward to the end of the curse? The complete, total end of the curse. Amen? I tell you, when I see mosquitoes running around, not this time of year, too cold right now, but when I see mosquitoes running around in the springtime, these little black flies and things like that getting in your eyes and ears and everything else, I'm thinking, oh God, I am going to be so glad when the curse is over and we don't have to deal with this. And you know what? These diseases are a result of the curse. So, let's go on to the next verse, because I am really tying it together here. It says, "And he said unto them, If thou wilt diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, amen, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes." All right. So did you notice that there's a requirement here? There's a requirement. Now the requirement is more than just if you have faith. Right? Now you have to have faith too. You have to believe, amen. You know, if you can believe in the blood of Jesus to deliver you and forgive your sins, do you believe that? So you had to have faith to believe that, didn't you? If you can believe that, can you not believe the other provision that he made for us? It's no more different. It's no more level, higher level of faith. I mean, it should be a greater level of faith to believe that I could be forgiven of all my sin. Well, you say, I wasn't that bad. It doesn't matter how bad you were. Doesn't matter. You can be terribly bad. You can be as wicked as that thief on the cross. And that guy was a pretty wicked fellow. We would even say so in our day. If we knew his past, his history, everything about that fellow, we would know he deserved to be there. Mm-hmm. All right. So if you will do all this, if you will keep my commandments, if you will give ear. What did he say here? If you will give ear. If you will give ear to his command. What's that mean, to give ear? Not just listen, but take heed. Hmm? My mother used to say, now take heed, son. In other words, don't just let what I say go in one ear and right out the other. I want you to sit down. I want you to carefully consider what I'm saying to you, because if you do it again, you're going to get a thrashing. That was the threat. Usually it was Dad that used that word, and we never wanted to get it from Dad. He was stronger, you know? Okay, if you'll do all this, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. How did they get to the Egyptians? Now, go back and read. I didn't read anything about Egyptian diseases, did you? I read about flies, I read about gnats, I read about frogs, I read about bloody water and all that. Lice. I don't think lice is a disease. I think it's a curse. Leprosy. Yeah, but it isn't mentioned. There's not a list, there's not a medical a dictionary that says these are the diseases that the Egyptians had. Except that God said to the Israelites, if you obey me, you won't have to live in the manner and suffer from the things that the Egyptians suffered. Okay? So my conclusion is that pestilence and this type of thing belongs to Egypt. It doesn't belong to the house of God. Well, why do we have it in the house of God? Is it because we haven't given ear? You know, one time, you don't want to hear my stories, probably. Okay. It was back in the early 1970s. Larry's heard this many times, I'm sure. back in the early 1970s, every year I would get the flu. I mean, I was just as regular as a clock. And I came to expect it. Now, these are days in up the very early 70s, I wasn't entirely walking in the place that I needed to walk. Late 60s, you know. There was a period of time that I drifted away. And I began to get sick. And I remember one time in December, it was early December, I made a statement to somebody. And I said, well, here it is, flu season. I'll be getting it. I'll be sick. I'll be down with it for at least a week. And what do you know? Sure enough, within a week I had it. And I'm laying there in bed. I went to bed out in the living room. I didn't want to disturb anybody, you know, being sick. And I'm laying there, and I don't know, about 10 o'clock at night or so, I thought, you know, probably wouldn't hurt to praise the Lord here. I've heard talk about how people are doing this. I mean, I'm new to hearing this stuff. I'm hearing how people are praising the Lord, and they're really getting some miracles. So I started praising the Lord, not because I wanted a miracle, but because I thought it was a good idea. Lo and behold, I don't know what happened to time.
Amen.
I looked at my watch, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. And I said, wow, where was I? What happened? I don't know what happened to 5 hours. I sincerely don't know where I was. Really. And I didn't deserve anything special from God. I wasn't being special good or anything. Really, I wasn't. But he was just merciful. He just took me into a place of praise.
Amen.
And, you know, I wasn't a praise specialist either. And I looked at my watch and I thought, oh, man, I'm sick. I got to get my rest. I'm going to be in terrible shape tomorrow. And the next morning, the kids were waking up, you know, and it was, you know, 6, 7 o'clock, whenever people wake up to go to school and all that. And I said, wow. But I didn't feel bad. But I didn't go to work, because I was convinced that I had to be in bed for a week. I mean, I tell you how stupid I really was. And finally, well, you know, I was over it. God healed me, and I was just too sick to know that I was healed.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And how did I get healed? I got healed, I didn't realize it, by getting into the presence of the Lord.
Jesus.
Now that's a weapon, brethren. If you can get into the presence of the Lord, you can overcome the devil. Now, there's other things that have to be done too. I mean, you're probably not capable of being in the Holy of Holies yet 24/7. That's probably where I was. I didn't know it. I must have been in there. But we carry on our daily life, and we don't get into that holy place. So come around the next year, and I'm thinking about it again. And I'm just about ready to say it, and I thought, wait a minute. You know, haven't I also heard that what is the words of your mouth?
There's life and death in the tongue.
There's life and death in the tongue. You're accountable for the words of your mouth. You'll give account for every idle word. That's such and such. You know, I've been. Yeah. So I thought, you know what? I'm not going to say that anymore. In fact, I'm going to declare to the devil that I'm done with the flu. Amen? And I did. I spoke out. I said, devil, you're not having me again. Your flu. Where was these flus coming from? Swine flu. Is that sound godly? Swine flu. That's unclean. Hong Kong flu.
It's coming from the dark places.
Bird flu. Duck flu. Comes from China. And dark places of darkness, places of unrighteousness, you know, that these things generate. Satan's got some kind of a laboratory that he works in darkness, you know, to bring these things up. And so I said, I'm never going to have it again. Do you know what? That was 40, 40-some years ago. Never had the flu again. However, some years later, I got a real bad cold. Really bad. And I went to the Lord and I said, Lord, I thought I wasn't going to get this stuff. By the way, I've never, ever, since that day, missed a day of work. Never. 40 years. It doesn't pay to give me a sick leave. Because I won't use it for sickness. So, I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, what's happening here? I've got a bad cold. I mean, it's not flu, but I got a bad cold. What's going on? And the Lord spoke to me and he said, son, he said, I've been trying to get your attention and you haven't been paying attention. He said, do I have to do this to get your attention? I said, oh no, Lord, no, please. You're never going to have to do this again to get my attention. I'm going to be paying attention. Okay, we're talking about sickness, right? We're talking about disease. And I'm telling you, we can overcome it. We can overcome it in the presence of the Lord. We can overcome it by the blood of Jesus Christ. You can overcome it. You're going to have to use your mouth to overcome it. Because you can't be saying, oh, I'm going to get this, I'm going to get that, I'm going to get that. You know? And you know, I'll tell you another thing. We were in the airport. And when I came home from Nigeria, I did allow them to put me in a wheelchair. Yeah, I was just weary. I was sick. I really needed to be in the hospital. And it was kind of fun. They wheeled you right through. You didn't have to stand in line anywhere, you know. Right through securities and all the other things. Whoop, right up to the... And you're the first one that gets on the airplane. So we're down in Charlotte a few days ago. I mean, they flew us all over the place to get us home. We're down in Charlotte. And we're in group four or something. There was only about four or five people that got on the plane after us. And of course, if you don't get on, you don't get a place to put your bag, you know. And I'm seeing these guys in the wheelchairs. I see this guy with a cane, and I says to Reed, I says, well, I suppose if I limped or something, I could probably get on the plane early. And immediately I thought, and she says to me, oh no, don't you dare say that. And I said, oh no, Lord, I'm never going to say a thing like that. Because you know what? You start talking that way, and you're going to get the thing that you say. So be careful. Be careful what you say. And you know, I tell you every day, I feel sorry for the brethren that are having their hips and knees and such and all replaced. I feel bad about it. But you know what I do? When I see people walking in the mall, in the airports, when I see people walking with canes and such, all I do, I say to the Lord, Lord, I thank you that at my age I can walk upright, that you have given me the gift of walking, and that my steps are steady, I don't totter over or whatever. I thank you for that, Lord. You know, I think these are, you know, when you're 20 years old, you don't think of thanking God for that. Mm-hmm. But when you get to an age where you see what's happening to people, you need to begin to thank God. And I believe that God can preserve you. All right? All right, I have a lot more verses here. I want to go to Deuteronomy chapter 7, and we want to confirm what we just said right here, Deuteronomy chapter 7, and it's going to be verse 15. Now, he's telling them how he's going to love them and bless them in the land, okay? And I'll just go back a few verses here. Verse 13, and he will love thee, and bless thee, and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb, and the fruit of the land, thy corn, and thy wine, and thine oil, increase in thy kine, that's your cows, and the flocks of thy sheep, in the land which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee. Now, you see, God doesn't have a problem with prosperity. Did you know that? He doesn't have a problem prospering us. But he doesn't want us seeking prosperity as if it were the kingdom of God. Prosperity is not the kingdom of God. But in the kingdom, in the fullness of God, there is prosperity. But we are not to seek it.
Right.
Amen. Why? What are we to seek? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And by the way, we don't seek healing first either. We seek His kingdom first. And the healing comes. I learned that one time too. I was seeking healing. I wasn't getting it. Finally, the Spirit of the Lord whispered to me, and He said, but seek ye first. You know, He had to whisper that to me for several months before I caught on to what He was trying to say. Finally, I said, oh yes, I'm getting the cart in front of the horse. Okay, so He's...
The kingdom encompasses everything.
It is all. It is all. It's the fullness.
Right. Jesus then says all these things will be added on.
Yeah. Okay, amen. He says, thou shalt be blessed above all people. How would you like to be blessed above all people? Amen? Would you go for that, John? Blessed above all people? Amen? There shall not be male or female barren among you or among your cattle. That sounds like a blessing, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And now, here's the verse 15. He says, and the Lord will take away from thee all sickness. Now that implies even if you had it, He'll take it away from you. He'll take it out of your midst. Well, what does all sickness include?
All of it.
I mean, does that include mental sickness too? Emotional sickness?
Mm-hmm.
I think it does. Yeah. It isn't just the chemistry sickness. It isn't just the virus sickness. It isn't just the bacteria sickness. It isn't just the worn out joint sickness. Amen? It's all sickness. Amen? And will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt which thou knowest upon thee. So in other words, God is implying again that He was the author of some of the diseases, that He allowed them to be put on the Egyptians and will lay them upon all of them that hate thee. So who is the sickness and the disease meant for? The people that hate us, the people that hate God. Amen? So, I don't know. It just gets you to wondering about this Ebola thing. I don't know who's getting it. Like I said, I have not yet heard of any of the saints that we know that have gotten it. I'm not saying it can't happen.
You think the Lord is the author of the diseases?
No, I believe that Satan is, but God has to give him permission to put him out.
You said the Lord is the author of all these diseases.
Well, he's not the author, but he put them on the Egyptians. And how does God put them on the Egyptians? All He has to do is not have a covering over them. And they get it. And He would say He put them on us if He removed His covering, the blood shield, from us. Then we're vulnerable. We're going to get them. And you could say, well, God put them on. Well, He put them on in the sense that He removed His hand from over you.
I see diseases as part of the sin.
Yeah, it's part of the curse. Hold that. We'll get to that. Let me go to another place in Deuteronomy. Verse 28, I believe. Wait a minute. No, it's chapter 28, verse 60. 28:60. Okay, now we gotta go back, verse 58 again. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God. That's all in capitals there. Then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful. Now that doesn't mean wonderful in the sense. There could be, see, the word wonderful must have meant something different in 1611 than it does now. Extraordinary.
Yeah.
Now, isn't this what we're talking about in Africa? Extraordinary type of diseases, plagues. I don't think that there was any record of Ebola in the Old Testament. I don't think there was any evidence of HIV. Really? I think that these things are being cooked up in Satan's cooker, and God is saying that if you don't obey me, these are the things that are going to come. He's putting it in the negative here, first of all. Then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, or amazing, or extraordinary.
Okay.
Abundant, yeah. And the plagues of thy seed, which is your children, even great plagues and of long continuance. Now, let's talk about long continuance. HIV is known as a lentil virus. Do you know what the word lentil virus means? Anybody know French? What's lentil mean?
Laid back and slow.
Slow. Lentil means slow. If you go drive on the highways of Quebec, drive in the highways of Quebec, you see signs that say lentilment. It's in French. It means go slowly. Highway signs. Yeah, slow. So, HIV is a lentil virus. That means when somebody gets exposed to this thing, it can go on in the body for a long time before it finally breaks out in the form of AIDS and other such issues.
What verse are you in?
I'm in verse 59. He will make even great plagues and of long continuance. Long continuance could also mean that you're going to be sick for a long time with it. And again, that is the case of AIDS. There is not known at this time any cure for AIDS. The drugs that they're giving them are merely making them able to function a little longer without quite so much an impact of it. But they still got it.
Still
got it. And by the way, you know that HIV, there are many types of HIV, and a person can have more than one type. Oh, yes, you can. When we get into January, I'm going to be talking about some of these things. I did a list when I got out of the hospital. I thought, well, Ebola was the big thing. I looked up 16 plagues, and I wrote them in that list that I gave you, Glenn. 16 of them. And you know what? Most of them are just as bad, if not worse, than Ebola. By the way, do you know that more people die of flu than have died of Ebola? And we're not all... The flu doesn't make the news every day. And there's another disease called Marburg disease that's in Africa, and it acts the same way that Ebola does.
What is it called?
Marburg. Same way. Caught the same way. Same way, it comes from monkeys and fruit bats, same thing.
If the flu were centered in one area, if the flu was, it would make the news.
Yes, yes.
They're doing worldwide.
We'll talk about this later, but the Spanish flu of 1918, the end of World War II, or World War I, I'm sorry, we lost 100,000 men. America lost 100,000 men in that war. 40,000 of them were from the Spanish flu. Our soldiers killed as many as the enemy killed them.
What? Yeah.
Look it up on the internet.
Used to be anywhere they went. Half of the soldiers were killed in 6 months by diseases before they even got in a battle.
Mm-hmm. It was bad. It was bad. It was a bad flu. There were people that woke up in the morning feeling perfectly good, and they were dead by night. It moved that fast on people. I'm telling you, brethren, they're out there. God is holding this stuff back. God is holding the Ebola. He allowed the Ebola to come in here to get our attention And for what reason? The reason is to tell the saints of God, you'd better get under the shadow of the Almighty. Because all of God's people are not really hiding under the shadow of the Almighty, that no plague shall come nigh thy dwelling. We're not all there. We can quote the verse, we can talk about it, but we're not there. And you've got to get into God. You've got to get into Jesus Christ if you want to be protected from these things. By the way, Mr. Duncan died on the second blood moon. The second blood moon. There were four of them. The first one was in April. That's the day that the 400 Nigerian girls were kidnapped. Mr. Duncan died in America, brought the Ebola to America and died. He was uninvited. He wasn't invited to come in to be treated. He came in on deceit and he died in a hospital in Dallas. To me, that marks something else for this second period, the second blood moon period. They're all 6 month periods of time. Anyway, let's move on. He says, moreover, I will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
I thought so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so. Very interesting. And you know what? The Old Testament word is not dead. It's anointed. It's as anointed as the day God said it. It applies to us today. Is not just a little old history book for people long, long time ago. No, it is not. It's God's book for God's people. Amen. All right. Let's get over to the positive side here. Let's go into Isaiah 53, verse 5. You know where we're going, don't you? Isaiah 53, verse 5. You know what it's going to say, don't you? What's it going to say? Yes, amen. This is a good... Yes. Amen. So let me start in verse 3. Amen. I said verse 5, but let me start in verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men. I tell you what, how can people read this verse? How can Jewish people read this verse and not understand that it applies?
Do you want the answer to that?
Reality.
Do you want the answer to that?
Yeah.
I have the answer right now. The Bible says in the Old Testament that because they didn't know the time of their visitation, he has blinded the minds and eyes.
Yes.
But there'll be a period when he opens them.
Yes. Again. Amen. All right. So the eyes were blinded. Now, by the way, I remember one time I went to a conference. This is way back in the 1970s. I used to go to these administrator conferences where they had all these displays of all kinds of new equipment and computers and all that were just coming on. And we talked to everybody there. People were milling around, you know, and talking. And I got talking to a Jewish girl. And she starts telling me about her life, and she says that she's joined with a singing group. I said, what is that? She said, oh, we're singing the Messiah. I said, you're singing the Messiah? I said, so you're a Jewish girl? I said, do you know what you're singing about? No, well, no, but I just like the song. And I can't imagine. It's such a beautiful, beautiful verse. It's about Jesus Christ. And you go and you sit in that chorus and you sing that, and you don't know what it's about.
I'll have to wait till the end of this to tell you what to say.
All right, yeah. So, moving along. It says, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Amen. See, we were blind. We didn't see it. Amen. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Amen. See, God allowed this. He was smitten of God, and yet the devil did it. You know, this, if you can't understand the Word of God, if you can't understand God, you're not going to know what this means. When God says he does something, and you know that Satan did it, but God says he was smitten of God. When God says, I will lay the diseases on you, but it's actually Satan that's going to lay them on. Okay? But he was wounded, verse 5, for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Not will be, but we are healed. Now, you don't need a lot of faith. All you need to do is believe what that says. We are healed. When you get sick, when you get pain, when you get coughing and sneezing and whatever you do, do you say, God, I believe your word. It says, with your stripes, I am healed. I am healed, Lord. I'm going to claim it. Now, I'm not saying it's as easy as pumpkin pie, just to say it. But I'm saying, you got to believe it, and it's a good start to start agreeing with your mouth with the Word of God. Well, why disagree with God? If he says you're healed, I'm going to agree with it. Okay? Okay, moving along, Psalms 103. Where were we this morning? We were 120. 103, Psalm 103. Okay, we got to go back to Psalms. Here we are. Psalm 103, and we're going to go to verse 3. Let's read from the first verse. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. What is David saying? It says the Psalm of David here. What is David saying here? David is saying, he is commanding his soul to bless the Lord. Isn't that interesting? He says, oh my soul.
Yeah, yeah.
He's talking to his soul. He's talking to his mind. He's talking to his emotions. He's talking to his will. He's talking to his desires. You know, sometimes we don't feel like blessing the Lord. No, I don't want to. I just don't feel like it right now. I don't feel good. I don't want to bless the Lord. It's too hard. It takes too much energy out of me to bless the Lord. But David is commanding his soul. You can command your soul. Somewhere else in Psalms, he says that I will say unto my soul, you know, yeah. So, I will bless the Lord, O my soul. Amen. He didn't say, bless the Lord, O my flesh. But the soul has to agree to bless the Lord. Amen. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Everything else that's in me, my chemistry, everything is going to obey. Amen. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. How many of you have got a few iniquities that haven't been forgiven yet? No. If he can forgive one, he can forgive them all. Amen? I don't have any sins that aren't forgiven. Amen? Now, if you did a sin within the last hour and you didn't ask God's forgiveness, you might have one. But I don't have any. Amen? And not going to keep any. Not going to keep any, brethren, that are not forgiven. Amen? Who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth most of thy diseases. No, all of thy diseases. Who healeth 90% of thy diseases, and the other 10% he can't get to. No. 99%. No. 100%. All of thy diseases. Come on, we've got to think on these things. God is able to heal all of our diseases. We are able to live in divine health all of our days. I mean, I'm just, if you disagree with me, tell me where I read it wrong. Okay. So now there's another verse, and we probably won't go real long here today, but who healeth all thy diseases. Psalm 91. You know where we're going when we go to Psalm 91, don't you? I mean, we've been alluding to it all along, and now we need to... You know, I could read Psalm 91 every Sunday, and it applies. It applies to what we're talking about. It applies to the end time. Psalm 91, end time psalm. Get to your computer, put your computer on 20 or 24 point or something, and print it out in big letters, and put it right on the front of your refrigerator, Psalm 91. You're going to have to live by Psalm 91 when this great tribulation comes. God is warning us about it. He allowed the Ebola to come over here to America to warn us about it. I'm sure the Africans are going to have to learn about it too. They're going to have to live by Psalm 91. Amen. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen. That is where we're going to have to live. We must be there. We must dwell there, not just visit there occasionally. But we're going to have to learn to live in that place. Now, I didn't say you can't carry out your daily life. I didn't say you can't have a job. I'm not saying you can't, you know, sit down at your table and eat and go out and do chores and mow your lawn and whatever normal activities people have. We're going to have to find out that we are going to be able to live in that place and still carry out the normal activities of what people do in their lives. People who live and breathe and eat food and sleep and do things that natural men do. Jesus did that. Come on. Jesus did that. He lived in the way we live. He ate food. He slept. He drank. You know? He bled. He had pain. Yes, when they afflicted him, he had pain. And yet, he was in the secret place of the Most High all his time on earth as a man. Now, I don't know how it happened when he was a child. All we know, really, is this 3.5 years. He must have been as a child, too. How could a 12-year-old go into the temple and debate the Word of God, that we're talking about the Old Testament Scriptures, and debate the Word of God and confound these, we'll call them PhDs in theology? How could a 12-year-old do that?
Amen.
I mean, I've got a 12-year-old grandson. He's pretty smart, but I don't think he's that smart. I don't think he's that anointed. I don't think he knows the Old Testament that well. He knows some about the Word of God. But this is the Son of God.
Amen.
All right? I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Now, the pestilence is mentioned twice in here. Noisome pestilence means perilous or deadly pestilence. Would you say Ebola is a noisome pestilence? And you know what? I would say the other 16 things on that list that I made are also noisome pestilence. There's some noisome. Deadly. Deadly. Perilous. These are words that people used in 1611. We were watching this video, by the way, And by the way, I want to offer it to anybody that wants to take this thing home and watch it. It's a lamp in the dark place. It's 3 hours. This is about the Bible, the history of the Bible. And if you really want to know, you're going to have to watch it 3 or 4 times. There's a lot of information here, and I believe that everything that's said in here is true. It's not biased toward any religion. It's not biased towards Baptist or anything like that. I think it's a good documentary. By the way, I found it out in a little secondhand shop out in Nebraska. But actually, I have 2 copies, so I'm gonna give this copy. Anybody who wants to borrow it, take it home and watch it. You can, and then bring it back when you get done. Okay? And let some others do it. I think it's a great... Rita and I watched it. It took us 2 nights to watch it. And Rita said, man, I got to see that thing again. You know what? We saw it once before. But we got to see it again. And I read a book that Brother Gordon gave me of what's happening to the translation of the Bible. It's getting corrupted. Even the modern translators, the Wycliffe people, are being corrupted by this, and they explain where this corruption is coming from. It's coming from these old Latin Vulgate translations that the Roman Catholic Church is propagating today, and they want a common Bible for all the world, for all religion. That's what they're trying to do. And they're making it that little by little. They're changing a word here, changing a word there. They use a technique now called dynamic interpretation. Well, it isn't the exact word, but it carries the same meaning. Whereas in times past, these men that translated the Word of God, they wanted the exact word. And by the way, the King James was done very well. Very well. We know where 2 or 3 words are in there that shouldn't be. I just gave you an example of another word that probably should be updated. We don't use that word noisome anymore. You go in the mall and say, well, that's a noisome something or other. Oh, what does that mean? Nobody knows. Nobody uses these words anymore.
Like annoying.
Yeah. And if you go to the original King James, they have spelling of words that we don't spell them that way anymore. I mean, it's just like reading ancient Shakespeare. They have spelling of words that people don't spell it that way anymore. And that was in the same era of time. Okay. So, all right, let me go on with this. The noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. Now here's verse 6 that we're looking for. Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. How many have died of Ebola already in Africa? 6,000. Over 6,000. 1,000 shall die at thy side. All right? If I'm living in Sierra Leone, if I'm living in Liberia, I'm going to have to claim this word. 1,000. 6,000 will die at my one side, 10,000 on the other. It shall not come nigh unto me. Now, I'm not going to go out and be foolish either about it. All right? So, I'm telling you, we're going to get into some more of these things again when we get over into January. I want to finish this series first in December, all right? Then we're going to go on. I spent a lot of time looking into a lot of things.
Next week?
What?
You're going to do it next week?
Yeah, well, no, not next week, in January.
Okay, no.
January. Yeah, I want to finish this. I got 2 more of these to do. This is good word, isn't it?
Excellent.
Amen. This is good word. I'm enjoying this. Amen. Now, let's get over into Luke. We want to just look at another example of overcoming a disease and the power that we have over it. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. I'm going to give you several examples here in Luke. I could have gone to Matthew, could have gone to Mark, but here we are in Luke. Luke 4, and we go over to verse 40. Okay? Now, the verse just before this, if we look at the context here, and I've talked about this before a long time ago, it was the Sabbath day, and demons were cast out, and they raised a ruckus about it, the religious leaders of the day. And it says, verse 32, it says, "And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power." Okay? So, they heard some things. This is his hometown. They heard some things, and they were filled with wrath. They didn't like what they were hearing. And so he went out. It says, "In the synagogue there was a man that had a spirit of an unclean devil. He cried out with a loud voice, 'Leave us alone.'" Anyway, Jesus cast the devil out of him.
Thank you,
amen. Hallelujah. And his fame went out. So then it's Peter's mother-in-law. Mother-in-law means what? That you are married. That you have a wife. Where does Rome get this idea that their clergy cannot have a wife? Not from the Bible. You're going to enjoy that. You're going to enjoy that that DVD. See it with your wife.
Yes.
You two sit down together. Stop it. Explain things to her if she's got questions. If you have the answers. Amen. Yeah. Go through it slowly and understand what they're saying. Amen. Yeah. Okay. So. Now we come down here in verse 40. "Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them."
Praise the Lord.
Wow. Notice everything about this verse. "As the sun was setting." What's that all about?
Were they all dead?
No. They might have been there, but they were afraid to come until sunset. Aha, yes. You should know that, Ellen.
Well, you know, there was a lot that came.
Yeah. You see, now it's a new day. It's not the Sabbath anymore. Now they can come and they can be healed, and they're not going to cause a ruckus with the synagogue leaders. Okay. They're not going to be threatened because he did work on the Sabbath. So on the Sabbath, how did he heal? What did he do to heal them? You know, he has the power to just speak the word. But he came and he laid his hands on them. Isn't he wonderful? No, listen. It is him. It is him. I want to read you more as we go. It says, "Devils also came out of many," demons it means, "crying out, saying, 'Thou art the Christ,'" verse 41, "the Son of God. And he rebuked them, suffering them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ." You know, the devil knows who Christ is. Amen? Hallelujah. I'll take you some other verses in Luke, and one of them I want to show you how it says that people just came and touched him. Oh, here it is. Here it is. It's in chapter 6. Chapter 6, Luke. Chapter 6. He's talking about the 12 disciples. It says, "And he came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases." I read in verse 17, chapter 6, Luke, chapter 6, verse 17. People came to be healed. Do you blame them?
Hallelujah.
You know, this people had to have known what God said back in Deuteronomy. "I will not lay upon you the diseases of the Egyptians. And here is Jesus coming now, fulfilling the word of God from the Old Testament, taking away the diseases of Egypt from them. Amen? Now let me read on here, verse 18, "And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed." Do you suppose this could have been some mental issues too, that people were healed of? I mean, if you're vexed with something, it doesn't mean your liver's in trouble, does it? Or your feet. If I'm vexed with something, it's a thing in my mind, in my soul. And the demons were vexing people, and he delivered them of it.
He's a wonderful one.
You know, I tell you, some of the people that I've prayed for, I wish we could have had them all healed. Jesus would have had it done. Jesus would have had it done. Lord, why have we failed? Maybe we weren't as much in Christ as we thought we were. Amen. And now listen. Listen to this, verse 19. "And the whole multitude sought to touch him." Can you imagine the rush?
Wonderful.
Hands coming out. Crowds, hands. As he's going by, hands reaching to touch him. Amen. "For there went virtue out of him and healed them all."
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Now, we know that a woman sneaked up in the crowd one day and touched him, and virtue went out. But here he's letting them do it. He's just walking through, and hands are reaching out. He might have put his hands out to make it easier. And all they had to do is touch him or brush against his garment or something, and they're healed. People had faith. There was virtue in him. They must have felt that virtue come in. He must have felt the virtue going out of him. How could he let all that power go out of him? Because he had the fullness of God in him. The fullness of the Father in him. Amen. You want to be like that? Amen. Chapter 9. Luke. Chapter 9, verse 1. "And he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils," that means demons, "and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick." See, the preaching of the kingdom and the healing of the sick seems to have gone hand in hand, doesn't it? I guess we need to be doing more praying for healing, don't we?
Well, it's a sign that God is real.
Yeah.
And the kingdom of
preaching the kingdom and healing the sick.
So real.
Amen. Now, one last thing. I want to go to Job, the first chapter. And I just want to show you where the devil gets involved in this whole business. Okay? Job, the first chapter. Job.
Job.
Job. Brother Job. Job. Just before Psalms. Job chapter 1. We're going to finish with this verse, these verses here. Verse 11. Now, God is bragging on Job again. Okay? First time around, he went to God and he said, "Well, let me take away his blessings. Let me take away his substance. He'll curse you." In other words, the devil is saying, "Well, Job only serves you because of prosperity." Yeah, because he's such a by the way, he was one of the most prosperous men around. He was an extremely prosperous man. I mean, you would have considered him a billionaire today, probably. But he was a righteous man. You don't find many righteous billionaires anymore, do you? He was a very righteous man. Now, this is before the law. Remember? Job is a man who probably lived after the flood and before Abraham and Moses. Yeah? We don't know who he was exactly. We found a name one time called Jobab. I'm wondering, was that Job? It's in the genealogies here. One of the descendants of Shem. Anyway, Job. And now Satan comes to him again, verse 11. And now he says, well, it isn't just because of his prosperity, it's because you keep him in good health. Now you see, God had been keeping this man in good health. Do you see this? God had a shield. He was under the shadow of God. He was under the shadow of the Almighty. He was being kept from these diseases. Satan couldn't get at him.
Amen.
Satan couldn't bring him the flu. Satan couldn't bring him Ebola. Satan couldn't bring him anything. All right? And Satan says, but put forth thine hand now and touch all that he has. See, Satan is saying to God, well, put forth your hand and touch him. Well, now God isn't the one that's going to do it, but God had to give permission to do it. And this is why Satan addresses him this way. He says to God, well, put your hand out and touch him now. He'll curse you. Touch him. And he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said to Satan, see, now the Lord said, I'm not going to do it, but I'm going to let you do it. But there's going to be a limit to what you can do. You can't kill him. You see? And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Amen? All that he hath. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So, that was the first commandment. Now the second time Satan came, and in verse 4 of chapter 2, verse 4 of chapter 2, and Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. In other words, flesh. Flesh, he's a man of flesh. Let me add his flesh and he'll curse you. See? That's Satan's belief. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. See, now this is what devils do. Devils curse God. Demons curse God. They're full of curses. And they assume that they can recruit men to do the same thing. Okay? And the Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. You can't touch his life. You cannot take his life. Now, it appears that he only got one disease. He didn't get every disease in the book. But what he got was bad enough. He got boils from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. Did any of you ever have a boil? Do you know what boils are? Did any of you ever have a boil? Yeah. They're horrible things. I had one on my hand one time when I was a child. What it is apparently it's caused by Staphylococcus aureus, a kind of staph that is not easily treated with antibiotics. And it is a horribly painful thing. It makes a big old pustule. And I can't imagine having this from the soles of my head from the soles of my feet to the top of my head. If this is the same thing, whatever he had was an affliction, very painful on his skin, so painful that he took a piece of pottery and he'd scrape the pus off of his skin, just scrape it to try to keep. And it was so foul that his wife didn't want to have anything to do with him. Go sleep somewhere outdoors somewhere. Don't come in the house with that, you know. And he'd speak to his servants and they'd run away from him. They didn't want to help him. The young boys that were, you know, his employ. Nobody wanted anything to do with him. And where did this come from? The devil. So I only give that to show the devil is the real source of it, but sometimes it says, God says, I will not put this on you. Well, God didn't invent that disease, and he wasn't the one that said, well, I think I'll go over and I'll oh, yeah, here's a good guy. I'm going to afflict him. No, the devil afflicts you. But why are you vulnerable to being afflicted? Now, Job hadn't done anything wrong, okay? Job had not purposely removed the overshadowing of God from him. God did it himself to test Job and to prove him. And how did Job come out, by the way? How did he pass the test? Flying colors. You know what? All his children, he had the same number of children. By the way, this is amazing. Job's wife, okay, these were grown children that died. Think about this. Do the math here. These are grown children that died. Wife must have been, she could have been 50 years old. Job might have been 50. And now they have a whole new set of children.
Right.
Do the math.
Yes.
There was something miraculous happened with Job's wife, too. It doesn't say he had another wife.
Right.
Doesn't say anything about that. And by the way, you thought he was rich before? Doubled. Everything doubled.
Yeah.
Yes, everything.
Because he repented.
He
didn't come out with flying colors. He had to repent.
No, but he came through.
Yeah,
I was wrong to say flying colors.
Well,
he came through.
He still had to repent because he was complaining and...
Complaining.
Murmuring, and he had pride. And
yeah, complaining, murmuring, and pride. And by the way, those are the things the Lord was dealing with me about when he said to me Job's complaint.
But he repented and he got the double blessing.
How many of you know we need to repent of a few things yet?
We need what?
Need to repent of a few things.
Amen. Yeah.
How many of you are totally, perfectly patient? The Lord was speaking to me about that. I have someone to remind me too. It's good. It's good. Amen. Brother Mark, you need patience. I won't tell you all my others. Just the obvious. Amen. How many of you know sometimes we don't have a good attitude about things? Lord, help us. Lord, help us to close the door that we will not have any open gate for Satan to come in and afflict us and keep us from all these diseases of Egypt, O Lord. We thank you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.